You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 103.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks. Again, welcome to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast. And as you know, I co-host this with retired Chief Todd LeDuc, also the Chief Strategy Officer of LifeScan Wellness Centers. Todd, let me kick it over to you. And we have a couple guests today.
Yeah, we do, Donnie, and I'm very excited. One I wasn't expecting, which makes me even more excited. So we're going to just jump right in. As you know, we've been doing this for over a year. We've had some tremendous guests on, and we continue just learning from each other. And, you know, we've got hundreds of listeners, some even internationally. So I'm going to jump right in and introduce our invited guest, and then I'm going to ask him to welcome and invite a member of his department that is joining us, and I'm thrilled. So doctor, and I say doctor, I've got two doctors on here, so I'm gonna have to be more specific. Doctor and Fire Chief Smith, from formerly from down my neck of the woods in Florida, and has assumed and was appointed to the position of Fire Chief for Charlottesville, Virginia. So Chief, welcome. It's great to have you on. And I want to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe introduce Brandon, and then just talk a little bit about your journey in the fire service. I know you've had some military experience. I know you've got your doctorate and you're with, you know, in the Florida Fire Service. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'll say good morning to you. Good morning, Dr. Hutchinson, Chief. Happy to be here. Very delighted that I have this opportunity to share with you and your audience and our profession, ultimately, in having a conversation this morning. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity. As indicated, I'm Dr. Hezadine Smith, the 6th Fire Chief here in Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm originally from Jamaica. I've been in the profession for over 34 years. I started in the Air Force back in 1988 as a medic. Then I joined the fire service after my 4-year tour in the Air Force. I joined in Orlando. Actually, I started in a small department similar to where I'm at right now as I look to turn the corner in my career. I started with Apopka Fire Department and ultimately ended up with Orlando Fire Department, which I proudly served over 24 and a half years before my retirement. And I'm very happy to be a part of the community here in Charlottesville. And with that, this department is a very, very, very well-organized department, a lot of committed member. We're an ISO 1 accredited organization, CFAI as well. So just happy to be here. But most importantly, you know, I'm happy to serve the men and women in the department and also the community. But I want to make sure I introduce firefighter Brandon Lennon. He's been with us about 6 years. And the reason I wanted him to be a part of this conversation, because he has actually have a lived experience, essentially, in the topic we'll be talking about today. So firefighter Lennon has been with the department for about 6 years. And I'll give him a moment to introduce himself and give you a little bit about his background.
So my name is firefighter Brandon Liner, like he said. I'm a paramedic and firefighter for the city of Charlottesville. I was also in the Navy for 6 years as a firefighter. I served on a few different departments down near Lynchburg for a few years. And this past year with LifeScan, I figured out that I had bladder cancer. So that's kind of my journey.
Well, Brandon, thanks for being with us, and we're gonna touch on that. And as I told you before we started taping, your courage to come on and share your story. I know, and you know, you're gonna be sharing as much as you're comfortable or not comfortable with, but I know it serves the purpose of helping the service and helping others. So. Yeah. We had the chief may have seen this, or you may have seen this. We had Sean Ryan from Albemarle County, Virginia, on recently, and he's done a few webinars with us, Target Solutions, sharing his kidney cancer detection story from LifeScan. So, Chief, I was going to have a number of questions for you, but since Brandon kind of teed up health and wellness, can you talk a little bit about your priority as fire chief and its focus on the men and women's health and wellness, and, you know, not just physically, but from a total, you know, perspective, and maybe talk a little bit about, I think LifeScan was probably already the provider for the department, maybe when you arrived, but talk a little bit about, you know, the experience with LifeScan, and then from there, we can ask Brandon if he'd be comfortable sharing his journey as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to say that first and foremost, you know, throughout my career in Orlando, I often wondered, right? Why wasn't it part of the process ultimately? And I found it very important for myself to actually take my own health into consideration and actually engage in that process on my own. But certainly I'm hopeful that the fire service as a whole will look forward to adopting this model, because when we talk about the health and safety and the well-being of our firefighters, it's a 360 degree wraparound essentially, right? We're not only talking about mental health, physical health, but certainly making sure that the entire body is taken accounted for, right? And as part of our strategic plan here, we have it labeled our goal, number two goal, actually. First goal is the workforce, making sure we have a workforce that exemplifies our department's values. And one of our values secondarily focuses on goal two, which is the safety and health of our members. And I was very happy to join this organization. And when I found out that they were already adopting the LifeScan approach, I was like, whoa, 21st century stuff, right? And I was like, man, I wish all departments were doing that. So I was very happy to be a part of that. And I actually went through the process myself. Fortunately, I think I'm doing okay for now. And I look forward to the next visit examination. But, you know, understanding that the history of this organization, we've had about six individuals who've had some experiences with cancer. And certainly we have lost a member in this organization as well. So I think it's very important that we address it from a holistic standpoint, not just from the Charlottesville Fire Department, but from the fire profession in general across the United States. And I say that to kind of bridge my passion in terms of research and in terms of understanding attitudes, and not only attitudes of our firefighters, but attitudes of the stakeholders that we serve, right? Not only the community, but the government entities we serve, right? What are their attitudes towards our physical health? And have we examined those things, right? What are their beliefs and what are their feelings? And ultimately, what are their behaviors? How are they exhibiting behaviors that are consistent with their beliefs and how they feel about the services that we provide as a profession?
I know you, Chief, and, you know, being involved in CPSC and credentialed and accredited and focusing, you know, it's that, as you said, that total picture, you know, and Donnie heard this the last podcast we taped with Chief Johnson. I mean, I'm looking right now at the fifth, and I'm sure you've seen this, the fifth NFPA National Needs Assessment that was just published in December. You know, 72% of departments responded they don't have programs to maintain basic firefighter health and fitness. 61% do not provide physical and medical evals that are compliant with NFPA 1582. And sadly, 43% of the departments that do provide medical physicals, 43% don't include any fitness assessments. So I think, you know, holistically, as you point out, we need as a service to do a better, you know, job in connecting all those dots to make sure, you know, when we say everyone goes home, it's more than just a slogan that hangs on the wall. Absolutely. Absolutely. Brandon, I want to ask you if we can, and I know once I'm sure Donnie's got 1,000 questions, you know, when we talked on this 360 holistic, but would you share as much as you're comfortable with your personal journey? I know it's difficult. Yeah, sure. I've never had cancer. I know in my department in Broward County, Florida, which is about 900, just this last round of life scan wellness physicals, we had four of my brother and sister firefighters diagnosed, two with bladder and two with prostate, and they were all asymptomatic. So if you would tell us a little bit about your experience and maybe how that's changed you and your family. And
So our first life scan was last year. And as, you know, as a firefighter in the department, we weren't like 100% bought into it. So we kind of went into it thinking it was going to be like our previous, physicals before. Everything went well, except for the ultrasound. The ultrasound tech kept scanning my bladder, and, you know, I commented that I've had, you know, I think 8 kidney stones before, and she kind of zeroed in on an area. And I was like, well, you know, maybe it's just a kidney stone that's kind of just real stubborn and doesn't want to come out, you know. So she rolled me on my side, and that's when she said, a kidney stone would have moved. This didn't move. So I don't know necessarily what it is, but I'm going to send you all the images and you can take it to your primary care doctor. So the next day I went down to a primary care doctor here in Amherst, Virginia. And I sent them the images that were sent to me and pretty much was told, hey, look, you know, you're 35 years old. You're not peeing blood. I'm not seeing any other signs or symptoms of cancer. You know, you're probably fine. And I told the doctor, I said, look, I'm entering into my 19th year in the fire service, right? Like this is the cancer is running rampant right now. And he just brushed it off and said, well, people don't usually get ultrasounds for anything, you know, especially not during physicals. So, okay. So a couple of months later, I finally got my appointment at a urologist here in Lynchburg. He pretty much said the same thing based upon, you know, my age. He said that they don't really do ultrasounds in, you know, the office there. And he said, we'll schedule you for a scope. So they did a cystoscopy and looked and saw that I had cancer. I think it was in September. I had surgery. I got the tumor out. It was found that it wasn't actually in my muscular wall of my bladder. So I was able to avoid chemo and BCG treatments. So I didn't have to go through any kind of treatments. I just went through my 3-month post-op scan. And I don't have any new growths as of right now. So next scan is in September, so fingers crossed that puts me a year after surgery, and hopefully that's clean too. So
what an experience. Thank God you're, you know, caught early, you know. Yep. No spread. And you know, but yep. But you know, the chief hit on the fire service. You just hit on something as equally important, in my humble opinion. You know, we see this all the time. You know, at LifeScan we're seeing 60,000 patients this year in 26 states now. But in the IFC, which I sit on the board of, has done a work. We have a healthcare providers guide for mm-hmm. firefighters, but we need to do a better job at educating our medical community of the specific unique risks. We know firefighters 9% higher risk of cancer, 14% higher mortality, because those cancers are more virulent and aggressive. And the purpose, you know, of the screening is exactly what happened with yourself, is to find it early. So you have the best outcome and you have a long career. You're going to be back on the job. You are back on the job.
Yes, sir.
And be cancer free into retirement. So for those that are listening out there, and Donnie's always good about helping with this, is the International Association of Fire Chiefs has the healthcare providers guide and to firefighter physicals. It's a 2-page pamphlet that you can give to your health provider and tells them, hey, I'm not, you know, most practitioners are trained on what's called the US preventative health screening recommendations. And those are intended for general population, not for firefighters. So we've got to change how we're thinking, the minds of our clinicians when they hear you're a firefighter. Dear friend of mine, you probably know, Chief Billy Goldfeder, was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, and the same, you know, had to kind of convince the medical community that, listen, I'm a firefighter. It's different. It's unique. What would you say, Brandon, for you said your department had maybe a little bit of apprehension with LifeScan being different. And we see that a lot. I know my department wasn't doing physicals, and then we came along and said, hey, we're going to have mandatory LifeScan physicals. And
right.
How is this, if at all, has this changed the culture in the department with your diagnosis and your early detection? What would you say? And tell other departments maybe that have fear about implementing physicals.
I think people are starting to see the value and buy ownership into the LifeScan now. You know, it's like I said, there's a few more members that are still with us that currently still have cancer. So that with my story, it's kind of showing everybody, you know, look, if I didn't get this scan, I was asymptomatic. So how long would it have taken until I would have seen symptoms, and would it have been too late? You know, people are starting to buy into it. Everybody I've talked to, you know, they're not dreading the physicals anymore. They're looking forward to it to see if they have something to do, you know, if they have to go see a doctor post or whatever, you know.
That's wonderful to hear.
Hey, Todd, I'd like to chime in on something. And Brandon, I want to give you compliments for, I think another thing that we need to do is be our greatest advocate when it comes to healthcare. And you absolutely demonstrated that when you're getting blown off by your primary care and so forth, but you ended up, you know, pushing it to get that urologist appointment, I believe you said, right?
Yes, sir.
And
yes.
You know, because that is something that you know, some, and whether you're in the fire service or anyone, you know, being your greatest advocate or having a partner there with you, a friend that is advocating for you, is so critical, I think, into helping navigate and manage through this healthcare system. But
yeah,
what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I would definitely add that taking it seriously is one thing, right? But perceiving the risk is another thing, because oftentimes our members sometimes don't perceive the risk. When we talk about decontamination efforts on after fire and things of that sort, not even after fire, sometimes if you've been in your gear too long, maybe take a shower, that kind of thing. But understanding that the perceived health risks by our firefighters need to probably be examined, because sometimes, you know, we don't know what's good for us, right? And until we examine and explore those beliefs and those feelings, ultimately we can address the behavioral change that needs to occur and embrace what is available to us. You know, the small investment that that it takes to really get an idea what's going on, it's well worth it. So, you know, there was a recent study that I was able to identify that perceived health risks were evaluated in some New Jersey firefighters at a conference. And ultimately what it demonstrated was that these firefighters really realized that, you know what, they communicated in their response based on the survey that they perceive that there's a higher risk of cancer as a result of the profession. So, you know, I think we just need to continue our efforts from a number of different ways, right? Awareness, lived experience, and also research to also support that buy-in, not only for our firefighters, but also for the stakeholders that we serve.
Yeah, very, very well said, Chief. You know, some of our research friends, you know, have likened it to the 360 of a building. You know, is the importance of doing a 360 holistically of our own health and wellness. And, you know, kudos to you and the department for investing as leadership, you know, in your strategic plan and making health and wellness a priority to the membership. And, you know, having departments like yours lead the way and others in Brandon coming on and sharing courageously his story. You know, we've got departments such as Alexandria, Arlington, Newport News just recently contracted. And, you know, what they found and candidly what they shared was they were doing physicals, but they weren't necessarily tailored to the unique occupational health risk that we have a higher propensity of, you know, Brandon being a great example. And Brandon, I mean, you know, I'm not telling anything you and your family don't know, how fortunate, you know, science tells us, you know, bladder, but really any type of cancer, once it's symptomatic and there's spread, you know, stage 2 and 3 and beyond, yeah. Survivability, it really goes off the cliff. So the goal for you and all of our brother and sister firefighters is not to be afraid of early detection, is to find things, right. Get it managed and then be done with it, put it behind you and hopefully, you know, just have a healthy career. So,
hey, Todd, if I could jump in and
please,
and anyone else can answer this, is that for a listener out there that's thinking, perhaps there's a chief out there, health and wellness officer, that's like, wow, what's it take to get life scan in? You know, what's the setup in that is, you know, I think sometimes people may say, wow, this is a big mountain to climb, but is it really that large of a project to look at life scan and actually have them start doing physicals annually?
I would say that, again, the framework was set up prior to my arrival. So it was ultimately executed once I got here. But the reality is when you can't put a dollar on a life, right? So when we talk about quantifying or the return on investment, we're talking about a small investment for life. And the reality is early detection, early intervention ultimately saves money in the long term. So it has to be a priority in terms of your leadership and in terms of communicating to the budget folks and those stakeholders that this is an important element of our risk management strategy. We have to buy into this. We have to support this by any means necessary. And I think if you take that approach, fire chiefs, if you take that approach, you'll be successful because you will be able to share stories like Brandon's story with your city leadership to say, listen, this small investment resulted in a life saved and potentially also additional lives being saved long term.
If you say it so eloquently, you know, Donnie's heard me say this as ad nauseum, and I keep saying it because I hope it at some point resonates. You know, whether any of our stakeholders, you know, we would never as a industry think of not having preventative maintenance on our apparatus. It would be foreign to a finance director or any person to put folks into a, you know, a fire engine that has bald tires, spongy brakes, no windshield wipers. Yet we still struggle with hitting that same target and investing in, and I want to keep going back, you know, to what Donnie does, you know, life scan, what we do is very specific early detection. What Donnie focuses on is what you said too, that whole 360, how we're doing professionally, how we're doing in our personal relationships and taking self-care of ourselves. So making sure we have all those pieces in that investment, life scan, peer support programs, fitness support for the members. So again, I want to just shout out to, I know we have a lot of folks, and I know I'll be seeing you next week at Virginia Fire Chiefs, and there's a lot of interest in Virginia. But I want to shout out to you for your leadership and Brandon, you know, for helping maybe allay, you know, some fears that others may have about, you know, what really should be just a, you know, this is just part of the process of taking care of each other as we do this every year. And when we find something, it's relatively speaking, I know cancer, when you hear the word cancer, I'm sure everything goes through your mind. But we know, you know, if you find it like in Brandon's case, you're going to have a great outcome. And that's the goal. And, you know, to add a little, you know, frosting to the cake, as the chief said, you know, from long-term, we know, you know, finding a stage 1 cancer is about $200,000 in cost to the city and healthcare system. Finding it later is about 4 times that. So, and obviously the outcomes are much, much more dire. So chief, I want to, segue a little bit and be mindful of everyone's time, but you know, I follow up social media pretty closely these days. Some might say I'm addicted to social media. I don't know if that's true or not, but Donnie would probably agree with that. But I notice looking from afar, both you and the department seem very community focused. And when I say that, whether we call it community risk reduction, whether we call it just community involvement, that goes, it appears to me from afar, goes beyond just the traditional response mode. I wonder if you can touch on that a little bit as a priority of yours in the department and how that fits into overall success of an agency.
I would say that our commitment here in Charlottesville, my team, our team here, I have a phenomenal team that from firefighters all the way up to my deputy chiefs are very engaged in the various elements of what we consider to be our 21st century fire services initiatives, right? So as we try to meet those ever-changing needs of our community and our stakeholders, we wanted to make sure that we're engaged not only from a community risk reduction perspective, but also from an internal stakeholder perspective, because ultimately, not having our family being taken care of, we're not going to be able to provide the services that we need to provide to the community and address the forces within that 21st century model, essentially, right? So I think my philosophy is based on not only transparency, trust, and integrity in those things, but really making sure we embrace those forces and collaborate with stakeholders from across the central, this area, ultimately. And in doing so, we're able to address the needs of our community and also focus on the needs of our members. Because at the core of it, again, as I indicated, we have six goals in alignment with our strategic plan. You know, our workforce, safety and health, how we communicate, training, our service and response model, and then our support. So with all those things, everything we do, we try to focus on alignment. You know, we talk about vision, alignment, execution. So everything we do, our goal is to make sure that there's some degree of alignment with any one of those strategic goals and our initiatives within the organization.
Well, it shows, you know, from someone that's probably 1,300 miles away and watches it from afar, it's palpable. So kudos to you and your team. You know, it's obviously when we talk about, you know, high performing organizations, you know, you've got many that don't have a plan. You've got probably even more that have a plan that sits on a shelf. And then you've got ones such as your organization that has a plan. The leader can enunciate that plan very clearly and succinctly, and then you can actually see the organization following it. So it's being implemented, and, you know, hats off. And again, for our listeners, you know, ISO 1 accredited department, great opportunity to look at best practices. And I know the chief and his staff are always willing to share in reaching out. So if your agency's just beginning the journey or somewhere in the middle of your journey and wants to see how other departments have successfully navigated, you know, get that focus, as you said, how do we keep all of our, you know, big picture goals aligned and make sure that we're all working in the same direction to achieve them. So, Chief, how, I want on a personal note, you've been at Charlottesville now how long?
Since December last year.
Since December. Year and a few months. Yes. Okay. So how was, maybe if you can just touch on a little bit, because I know we've got, you know, folks that are in the same transition and look at different roles and new positions. How was the transition for you and your family, and any wisdom that you would impart to others in public safety that as they, you know, I read the city manager's, I think, press release when he hired you about, you know, you being a transformational leader, but it's transformational for you and your family as well, retiring from one department and taking over leadership in a new department. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that you've heard in the past that it has to be the right fit, And when we talk about the right fit, we're not just talking about the organization, but the community. It has to be the right fit. And for me, the Charlottesville community at the time, and even now, it's the right fit. And the diverse background that the historical context of this community and the department, 165 years old, but most importantly, the men and women that serve this organization from day one have embraced me. And to this day, I still feel like I'm being welcomed into the family. And we have transparent conversations. We have open conversation. And I think that is important. Coming from a metro sized department, yeah, you know, you said, wow, I'm coming to 10 square miles, three fire stations. But you know what? It's a micro urban metro department that we serve here in this community, very densely populated with a student population. And our men and women serve endlessly every day, day in, day out, overtime, COVID, and all those things. So having a committed workforce is important. So when you're doing your homework, when you're thinking about transitioning to an organization, not just look at the organization and look at all the documents that are available, but also have some communication, some interactions with the community as you come in town and see what's going on and just observe what's really going on. Because, you know, at the end of the day, my mom's name is Virginia. So that was one of the writings on the wall. I'm like, yeah, mommy, I need to probably go to Virginia. But, you know, the men and women here are phenomenal. And Brandon, I want to thank you again for sharing your story and others who have served or continue to serve. I'm really appreciative and all respect to them. And I'm just happy to be here. And, you know, it just has to be the right fit for you personally, for you professionally, and also for the community.
Yeah, there's certainly some wisdom there, Chief, and something tells me between your transparency and communication, and I think a little bit of servant leadership, you know, that transition it probably is easy for the department and the team you lead as well. It's always, you know, coming in from the outside can always be a challenge, and being received coming in. So that goes a long way in building that bonding and that forging those relationships that are key to being successful. So
now, Todd, you'd mentioned that about a family. Chief, did you bring a family with you?
Well, right. You talk about transformational or situational, because, you know, we always talk about different leadership styles, right? And no one particular style is perfect, right? So currently, they're still in Florida, but we transition back and forth. We transform back and forth, ultimately. And you know, at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for your family. And right now, I'm doing what's best for the family. I have a son who's graduating from high school or getting ready for college, and I have a daughter, 13. So I need to do what's right for the family. And continuing to serve the fire service is also important to the family as well. And they're bought in on it, and they're giving their sacrifices, all our families do. So, you know, we're doing good.
Good to hear. Good to
Thank
hear.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to hear more about it on the Get Balanced podcast when I close. You're going to get an invitation. I hope you accept it.
Absolutely.
So Donnie and I tag team this. Gets released every Thursday. But Donnie's got his own as well that he has some tremendous guests on. And it sounds like you'll be in the queue. So I'll look forward to listening to that one as well. Chief Brandon, I want to again be mindful of your time, and my sense tells me we've just scratched the tip of the topics that we can cover that our listeners would see value in. So, Chief, I'll look forward to seeing you next week in Virginia Beach, and hopefully we can connect and talk about other opportunities and have you back on. And Brandon, I wish you continued health and safety and you know, it makes a special day for me every time I hear stories such as yours that you know, we're able to keep you healthy and get you through the career. I mean, the goal for all of us, right, we serve our communities so loyally, is to do it safely, healthy, and then enjoy a long and prosperous retirement with our families. So thanks for your courage in sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys. Thank you all very, very much. And real quick question, Brandon and Todd, correct me if I'm I may be the National Cancer Firefighter, the
Firefighter Cancer Support Network.
Thank you. Did you connect with them, Brandon?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And actually, on top of the Cancer Support Network putting me in touch with somebody who had bladder cancer, LifeScan actually put me in touch with somebody who was pretty freshly out of surgery within the year. And he was also communicating with me and telling me what to expect and kind of giving me guidance as well. So
outstanding.
It was a double-edged sword, and it was greatly appreciated. So,
and for our listeners, I know I see Donnie's still recording, which I'm glad I caught. Or I probably would have said something I shouldn't have. But you know, if I know the person, I think you were communicating with. His urologist, if it's the same person, said he was the first asymptomatic presentation of a bladder cancer in his three decades of urology practice. And this is a very prominent urologist in a large metropolitan area. So again, for our listeners out there, we each have to make sure that we're our own healthcare advocates. We find something and we know it's not right. We shouldn't take no for an answer. So Brandon, again, thanks for that story. For those listening to Firefighter Cancer Support Network and their website, Donnie, that was wonderful. Tremendous resource. If you're diagnosed, but even educating us in changing the culture of the fire service in terms of protecting ourselves. So great stuff, and best to you in health, and stay safe, and we're going to invite you all back for version 2.0, I have no doubt.
Thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.